All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Moreno's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Senator Sherrod Brown believes in our shared freedoms, our American values, and our right to the American dream, not just for some of us, for all of us. That's why he's fought back against rising costs, capping the price of insulin, and introducing laws to crack down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. This November, let's stand with Sherrod Brown, a proven leader who has always put us first. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
The pride of Oconto High School, Oconto, Wisconsin. How big was your graduating class, Jake Dickert?
Holy moly, that's digging deep, John. I like it. here's the real story. I was there from my freshman year to junior year.
Okay.
The class size was about 120, and then I moved my senior year, so I graduated from Kohler High School with a graduating class of 27.
Wow.
9 boys and 18 girls. Try fielding a football team with that.
Wow. You have to recruit. You have to go around and go, hey, everybody needs to play or we don't have a team.
Yeah, we had 27 kids, freshmen through senior in the whole program. I'm talking JV, varsity, freshmen. Needless to say, we were 1-9. It was a tough go around, and it was a tough move because Oconto was actually pretty good in football.
Yeah, so give me an idea of what that's like, because a lot of us, you know, with kids, we often have these discussions, right, where we go, okay, is it the right time? Do you do this? What was that like for you to go through that?
It was one of those things. My dad was the superintendent of schools, and I had so many parents that wanted me to live with them and finish my, you know, year out in Oconto. And yeah. That's exactly what I wanted to do. And he said, no, the family's moving, and you're part of the family. And there was some bitterness there for a long time. It took me a long time to get over those little moments. But, we're better in basketball in Kohler. It's the home of Jeff and Joe Wolf, if you're familiar with those guys in North Carolina.
Yeah.
But also they didn't have baseball, and I was a huge baseball guy. So I ended up joining the golf team, and Kohler has a bunch of fancy golf courses, Black Wolf Run, Whistling Straits, got a chance to play those. But it was a tough senior year at times. It really was. And, you know, but once again, I learned about adversity early in life.
Jake Dickert with us. Look, you're sitting at 7-1. You have to be happy with how you guys played in the fourth quarter against San Diego State. A lot of resilience. You looked like you were playing on a beach, but you found a way. You found a way to do that. And, you know, now what's the message this week? Because coaches will come in every week with a message. What's the message you give to the guys this week?
Well, I think the biggest thing is this morning we came in and hit the pause button a little bit. And, you know, we stay really strict on just our daily process and things that we can control and just keeping the little things, you know, always really important. And we just took a snapshot quick at the big picture. And we have done great things. We have great resiliency in our team and our organization. Got a lot of grit as a football team. And we got an amazing opportunity to create some lifetime memories in the finish of the last four games. So keep the main thing, control your environment, and make sure we understand that our process works. That's why we're here. Our process works, so let's stay true to it.
What are you, like, coaches will never say, you know, they always think about the things that maybe that can be improved, but what are you happy with at this point? If you can pause a little bit and go, okay, I'm really happy about what?
Our resilience, I think. There hasn't been a situation or a moment where we stop believing in what we could do. And I think only losing gives you that, John. And I think the last year of what we went through and didn't get what we want really shaped and hardened, you know, our mentality in this football team. And when you go through it one time, it plants a really great seed in the back of your mind that we can do anything. And I think that's what you've seen throughout the course of the season. It's never easy. But at the end of the day, our team has really been resilient, and I think that's one of the biggest things, because I can't give them that, John. I can give them speeches. I can motivate them. they have to do that themselves, and that is earned. And I'm really proud that those guys have it.
Jake Dickert is with us. You mentioned what you guys have been through. I think, you know, we've documented a lot of that on this show. I've written a lot about it, but it, you know, it looks like you have some daylight with how this conference is coming together for you. And now, you know, you're also probably in a recruiting mindset as part of this job. How does that help to have maybe, you know, the path, or maybe does it quiet some of the negative recruiting for people who go, oh, that conference is going to implode? Now people can see how it's coming together. At least they know, you know, here's eight teams that are going to be together in the future. Does that help with recruiting, or how does that factor?
Well, I mean, you can let it factor however you want, but at the end of the day, we have a target, we have a path, we have a destination. And, you know, last year without having one, I mean, you're selling a lot of hope and future and thoughts versus concrete things that are going about and happening. And, you know, the real challenge is staying ahead now. You know, you let in five teams that, you know, you fought forever to understand that we're above, and you got to stay above through your resources and your investment in your program. So it's great to have a future. I think it's really, receptive with recruits to stay regional. I think that is very important because that makes us unique as a conference.
Yeah, and I think that's a point that not a lot of people are talking about, because you see everybody else kind of doing everything with 16 teams or 18 teams. And some of that is too big, because I'm looking around and I can't tell who's good in these conferences, because nobody, they don't all play each other. And you're going to get a chance, I think, to be in a conference that'll feel more like a traditional conference. And next year will be different with the schedule. What did you think when you saw home and home with Oregon State?
Well, I think that, you know, most importantly, they just tell me what we're playing, and I say, okay.
Yep.
And, you know, complaining is neither a good strategy or solution.
Right.
So, you know, let's attack what we have. Let's focus on what we're doing. It's a unique situation. We're truly an independent, and let's go forward. You know, so definitely wasn't our first choice. That's where we ended up landing, and, you know, we'll move forward, and we'll be excited to play.
I like it, because it's a one-year, one-off thing. It's not unprecedented. I think, you know, New Mexico State and Liberty did it in 2019.
Yeah.
I was looking back, and, you know, I get why it's being done. It gives you an opportunity to keep more of the media rights revenue inside the conference, and it's not a forever thing. It'll just be a quirky kind of one-year thing, and, you know, let's see how these two teams play when they're playing at home. Maybe we get a true measure of what the home field is worth in college football. And I don't knock it, and I hear some people knocking it, some people love it. So, you know, you'll get Oregon State at home, they'll know that they get you at home. Jake Dickert is with us. Look, a week like this, you send a message to your guys. What is the coaching staff focused on? You know, you got a month of football games still ahead of you. Obviously, you got some recruiting to do, but, you know, how does the job of a head coach change in a week like this?
Well, I was on with Brock Heward, and I think he spent some time in the NFL. He's like, where are you vacationing this week? That's not college football. I mean, we are, you know, recruiting, and they moved up the signing day, which has really put a pinch in this time of the season, and finalizing that, and, you know, the NIL, and, you know, preparing our players and kind of recharging a little bit for the sprint of these last 5 weeks. I mean, it's all part of it, and you got to be artful in every piece of it. Otherwise, you're going to burn yourself out and burn your team out. So there'll be times for that. I mean, we're actually preparing for an official visit this weekend, because, you know, there's some challenges getting people on campus and game days and before signing day, but we're rolling through it, and the process continues.
The you know, that's a rule that maybe should be addressed. I mean, how many signing days do you need, or when should they be? I know you've talked about that before. Here, I got another potential rule change for you. Tell me how this feels. How about, instead of having a red shirt year, we just tell everybody they get 5 years of eligibility, and we don't make the kids have to decide after three or four games if they're going to play or they're going to quit on their team? Or I hate that. I hate that rule, that because it puts the pressure on the player, and there's sometimes no logic to it. Try that on. How does that sound to you? Everybody gets 5 years.
Yeah, I think it'll be implemented in the next 5 years. I believe that, because, you know, money's come into this too, and I think kids nowadays, unless you're a first or second rounder, want to stay in college as long as you possibly can and maximize this revenue. So you're seeing a lot of kids that played right away, you know, go back and use their red shirt, you know, maybe their senior year. So I think it's something that'll definitely be implemented. I got one more for you, John.
Yeah,
we need to go to a 2018 playoff. You know, the kids have proven they only want to play in the playoffs. So why not? Right? Let's give the people what they want. There are no conference champions, in my opinion, just like you said, the conferences are so big. So let's open it up and have a real playoff, you know, much like FCS and Division II and Division III. They find a way to do 28 teams. So I think that would create a lot of excitement.
Yeah, and the only problem is the Big Ten and the SEC are going to want their whole conference in. So you got to set up some guidelines to say, hey, it's got to be the top 28 ranked teams. I'm all for that, because even this year I'm looking at how it's going to shake down, and I think at 11-1, let's just hypothetically say 11, you're sitting there at 11-1, I think there's going to be a debate at the end, like, okay, are they in the top 12, or are they 13th, or are they 14th? And I think we're all going to be left going, hey, we'd like to see that game. I'd like to see the 14, 15, 16 ranked teams play and see how far they can get.
You know, there's no doubt about it, because you're a competitor. Those are the moments you want. And no matter where, no matter when, you got to own that. And I think our kids would deserve that if that opportunity is presented. So, yeah, I think it's also an opportunity to keep them playing. These kids want to play in meaningful games. And, you know, the bowl system has had its turn, and it's time to evolve into a more of a bigger playoff system. And hopefully that continues to grow after this year's success.
And yeah, you always have people who say, oh, they're students. And we go, well, wait a minute. They're doing it at the NIA level. They're doing it at Division II and Division III. Why can't they do it? You know, what's the real reason that they don't want to do it?
Well, I think it's just, you know, an old structure, right? It took us so long to get a two-team playoff and then a four-team playoff. Now we're at 12. It'll get there. If it's just like anything else in college football, it's moved pretty slowly. I would also love to push the season up to mid-August and do away with conference championships, because what are they? Let's just start doing the playoffs and let's roll. So we'll see how the game evolves, but keeping it competitive, I think you see that in college football now. There's a bunch of parity, and to sort that out is really great for the viewers, and I think it's great for the game.
I am not going to be one of those old guys that's in the press box, and people are going to be like, look at that guy, 70 years old, still covering the game. That's not going to be me. I'm going to go early, because there'll be a burnout factor for me, and I know it. You've talked about that too, and I'm looking at coaches in today's game, both in basketball and football. I think the burn rate will be shorter for these coaching careers. But you've talked about wanting to do 10 years. Why is 10 years the right number for you?
Yeah, I think Tony Bennett's another example, right? Because my boys, I want to see them play high school football, and it'll be torture for me that, you know, I'm pouring into someone else's kid on a Friday night at an away game in Boise, Idaho, instead of watching my kid play. And they've sacrificed a lot for me, and there will be a time where I'll make that same sacrifice back. And the greatest joy I have is watching those guys play. And, you know, I think there will be a moment in my life where I'll realize that that's the most important thing to me then. So those times are coming, and for now, the Junior Greyhounds won the championship again, and we're fired up about that. But as we continue to move, I think those things shift. And my family has sacrificed a lot, John. Like, we do, and we understand that sacrifice. We don't mope about it. We don't complain about it. We understand it. But someday I will make the same sacrifice back and take a little break, and I think it'll be good for everybody.
You want to coach them or just watch them?
Oh, just watch. Oh, good Lord. To be out there coaching them, man, that'd be even more pressure than what I'm currently doing. So that's not relaxing at all.
But they're not going to let you get away with that. They're going to be like, Dad, just be a position coach. Just be a coordinator.
Yeah, they trust me, John, they know. They don't want me on that field. So I get to be Dad. It'll be Dad, and it'll be enjoying. And, you know, I'll tell them to get hustling from the stands and, you know, stop hot-dogging it and block and all those things. So it'll be a fun moment when that comes.
I really relate to what you're saying, because even, you know, on weekends, I missed last weekend. My 8-year-old had a soccer game. I was in Berkeley covering Oregon State Cal, and, you know, I'm trying to scramble home and catch a 6 a.m. flight, you know, because mm-hmm. I know how important it is to be there. And so I relate to that, and I respect it, and I think a lot of people do, but I think there are some coaches who are afraid to say that out loud, or maybe they lose sight. There must have been some example for you. I mean, you seem to have good perspective. Is it mom and dad that gave you that?
Well, I think it's just, I mean, my dad worked hard for us, and my mom was always around, and you know, I think when you're young, sometimes you don't understand that. But at the end of the day, like, it just, when my dad played with us at the backyard, it was the greatest, you know, moment for me and my brother, right? So those are the things that I do understand. I probably said that to you before, that there's no balance in what we do.
Yeah.
There's only presence, and you got to have presence when you're there. And that's what we try to do as we go through this journey and, you know, just enjoy every step of the way. But my dad was a high school coach or a Pop Warner coach, and he had the keys to the gym, and there was no greater honor than going to that gym. Same thing, when my boys come to this facility, they know there's no greater honor than being able to run on that field because dad has the keys to the field, right? So there's a lot of perks that come with the sacrifices of the journey, too.
Jake Dickert, appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
Always, John. Appreciate you having me on. Go Cougs.
You bet. Thank you, man.
Thanks, John.
Okay. No knock on those of you out there that stayed at your job and worked deep into your 60s or maybe even into your 70s. Football coaching, basketball coaching, it's one of those jobs where you can do that if that's what you want to do. Jake Dickert's not saying that he wants to do that. We're literally talking about a guy who is sitting there at age 41 talking about, hey, when he's 50, 51, he's out because he wants to go coach his kids. And I'm honest, you know, I relate with that. I have long said that I will not do this radio show forever. I will not write and travel and cover sports forever. And I'm not going to be that guy because, it's not the same as coaching, but there's a burn rate too where you're out and you're traveling and you're missing out and you're missing things. And there, you know, even me with having an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old right now, I relate very much to what Jake Dickert is saying. And I'm older than Jake Dickert. But I respect that. I respect that he's willing to say that out loud because you get a lot of coaches, if they said that thing, people would question them and say, oh, are they committed? Are they in it for the long haul? I can hear the negative recruiting now that other coaches would use against Jake Dickert. I respect it, and I think it's great perspective. I want you to leave it here. You got the BFT.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.